From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of August, 2025. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you from the site of the Farm Progress Show. It's Media Day. The Farm Progress Show kicks off next Tuesday right here in Decatur. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, Total Grain Marketing. We'll check in on the eastern and the western legs of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, and we'll decide what the weather's going to be like for next week's Farm Progress Show with Drew Lerner on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Greg Johnson from TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, now joins us. Thank you, Greg, for being with us. I suppose you've been following the Pro Farmer Crop Tour all week. What have you thought of it so far?
Well, I guess we were hearing some private stories, you know, isolated areas that, you know, farmers were disappointed, you know, tip back and disease pressure and all this. But, you know, Pro Farmer is certainly not finding a lot of that. I think they're finding variable yields, for instance, in Illinois yesterday and today. But in general, it's certainly not a disaster by any stretch. It's an above average crop. It's probably not a record crop. You know, we're off of last year's numbers, I think, in Illinois. But some of the other states that they've been through, a very good number. South Dakota's been higher than last year. Nebraska, higher than last year. Ohio, higher than last year. Indiana, higher than last year. So I think the USDA is onto something. I think we can probably safely assume that it's not 188.8. But I think the trade is probably somewhere in that 184, 185 camp right now. But even a 184, 185 number gives you a 2 billion bushel carryout. So nothing real friendly in the corn market based on the Pro Farmer results so far. You know, the crop is there, and you know, before you know it, we'll be after harvest and we'll have to look ahead to buying acres next year. So corn, hard to come up with anything real friendly based on Pro Farmer. But the soybean numbers, you know, could be a little friendly. I mean, the pod numbers, the pod counts are there, showing that we have potential for a very good bean crop. But we also need some rain in August to fill those crops out. And a lot of areas have missed a lot of rain here in August. Not everyone. You know, it's a hit and miss, just like all summer. So if you could extrapolate out, you know, the possibility that we have a half bushel less yield on the soybean crop, the carryout's already an extremely tight 290. That would get it down close to 250. So, you know, I think there's some potential friendly news in the soybeans. But of course, it takes demand, and you know, we can get by with a smaller crop if we don't have demand, and that leads us into the U.S.-China trade talks, which have been extended for 90 days. We may not get a resolution until November, and by then harvest will have wrapped up. And so I think all this kind of boils down to the fact that we're going to have to store a lot of this crop, both corn and beans, more so than what we normally do, since we won't have the export market, it appears. So farmers need to get ready to store a big crop. Basis levels could be wide. DP rates could be a little bit higher. And that's just that's the reality that we're dealing with when we don't have a robust soybean export program in the fall.
Yeah, so I want to follow up on that, but I'm going to start with corn, actually, because I was thinking about this, and it feels to me as if basis is going to do the work to break, as opposed to the futures possibly going into harvest. Is this your opinion, or do you think both will go down?
I think both could go down. December corn's above $4. And like I say, the trade is probably discounting, you know, anticipating a little bit of a reduction in that yield from 188.8, maybe down to 185. But even so, 185 is a big number. Last year, December corn got down to 385. I think a lot of traders are you know, targeting that last year's low number as a place to go. You know, as we get closer to 385, 390, then you'll see some of these traders, you know, that are sellers up to that point become buyers. But at above $4, I think there's still going to be pressure on this market to at least see, as long as the yields hang in there good, I think we could still see some pressure on corn one more time and see the futures price, as well as the basis, like you talked about, under pressure as well. You know, the corn basis, there is good demand for corn, but if we're going to store an extra amount of beans that we versus normal, that takes away from some of the space that would, that the market was planning on storing corn. So I think the bean basis is the one that gets extremely weak, but you're right. The spillover pressure could be, you know, see a result in a little bit weaker corn basis as well.
Particularly because there is the 90-day extension. If there really isn't any movement until the end of that 90-day period, I suppose that the trade has braced itself for China to do another 2018-19 kind of thing where they just don't buy soybeans from the U.S.?
Exactly. Now, we did see some export sales announcements to Mexico. So, you know, if China's buying all of Brazil's beans, then the countries that typically were buying beans from Brazil will have to go somewhere else, and Mexico probably can make that work logistically to buy them from the U.S. So we will see a little bit of replacement demand you know, from some other countries, but by and large, I think, you know, for the quantity that we've got, we really do need China to come back into this export market to help support U.S. soybeans.
All right. Thank you much. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a great week. Are you going to make it to Farm Progress Show, by the way?
I'm not sure. We are putting in a new scale system, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make Farm Progress Show or not. So put me down as a question mark, I guess.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll get a chance to make Farm Progress Show. And if you do, and then you get to the beer garden, you'll be able to find a Riggs beer there with a Farm Progress Show can. I saw it today here at Media Day. It is a fantastic can. I hope you get one. Thank you much, Greg, for taking the time with me today.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com. Let's check in on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. We're now joined by Oliver Sloop. He is with Blue Line Futures. Thank you, Oliver, for being with us again today and all week this week. Thanks much for that, too. It was good to see you in Bloomington last night, and I bet you enjoyed, again, getting together with all the Crop Tour scouts on the eastern leg.
Yeah, it was great to see you as well, and always good to kind of come together at the end of the day and talk about what everyone saw on their routes. And you know, I think a big takeaway is you ask 11 different scouts what they saw, and you're probably going to get 11 different answers. When you and I spoke yesterday afternoon, we were just getting out of our first two counties in McLean, Illinois, and man, did it look good. And I was talking about how good things looked. And then as soon as we hopped up, we ran into a field that just wasn't there. And so that kind of brought variability into the end of yesterday's tour, and that pretty much where we picked up on today is variability and things kind of being all over the place.
So you headed from Bloomington to Macomb and picked up your crop tour there. That first stop looked like it was a pretty good one. What did you find there and for the rest of the morning?
Yeah, it was pretty good shape. We had a good yield check there. You know, the further west that we are going, it has dried out quite a bit. So that's something of note. I think a lot of the variability that we saw was early in our route in Macon and then Christian County, just kind of all over the map there. But starting to move a little bit further west, things are starting to dry out, but we are starting to see the yield come in a little bit better. Although, again, a lot of it just goes back to the expectations and what to meet those expectations. That's going to be the big question. You know, with the USDA coming in at 221 above last year's 217, I think about 8 or 9 stops in, our average is about 202. Now, that's just one specific route on the eastern leg. And we're talking about, you know, going into these fields, it's a lot of random samples. You're only picking 3 years. But I think it's one of those things where you get enough randomness combined with each other, and you start to make something out of it. So I think that's what the whole objective is this week, is get enough data points and samples to try to formulate a story and give a ballpark of where things might be in these counties and states as a whole.
You're traveling through Western Illinois. Where will you cross into Iowa, and will you take Iowa samples today as well?
Yeah, so we'll be meeting up with the rest of the scouts in our team in Iowa City and kind of go over the data. And again, the nightly meetings are great. It makes for a long day, but it's really worth time to get together, come together, go over all the data points, talk with people about what they're seeing on their routes. As you know, being in the Midwest, things change very quickly, whether you're, 100 miles away or even just 5 miles down the road from somebody else. So it'll be interesting to see what other folks are seeing out there.
Hey, thank you much, Oliver.
Thanks, Todd.
Oliver Sloop is with Blue Line Futures. He's on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. On the western leg is Sherman Newland. He's traveling with Karen Braun today, and Ted Seifert from time to time as well with Zahner Ag Hedge. The Zahner Ag Hedge groups have merged in some form with Risk Management Commodities. Thank you, Sherman, for taking some time with me today. You've been through both Nebraska and Iowa, I think, in the last 24 hours. Tell me about what you've seen.
Yeah, Nebraska yesterday was good. It was pretty wet in some spots. Actually really wet in a few spots. But it was good. It wasn't quite as good, as what I was maybe expecting. I think we were up a little bit on the corn, but the bean pod count was down. I think it was 23% from last year. We didn't see anything spectacular, right? But they came up with pretty good numbers, overall, when they added everything together for Nebraska. Now, this morning in Iowa, we're on our way to Spencer, Iowa today. And until the last stop, we didn't have anything average under 200 bushel, on corn. But the bean pods count has been, 1684 has been the average. That's up 12% from last year, and up 38% from 2023. Corn average so far today has been 228, up 11% from the same stops last year, and up 45% from 2023. So, I think we're seeing things that are significantly better today. Now, one thing I have noted was some of the ear counts seem to be kind of low in some areas, but we're also seeing a lot more southern rust today. It's coming out in this, on your hat, on your shirt, on your pants, on some field. Now, others weren't too bad, but it was more prevalent today than what I'd seen, like in South Dakota or some in Nebraska as well.
Yeah, make sure you wash all those clothes before you get back to the farm here in Illinois. We'd appreciate
it. We don't want to be
a
carrier.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truck, too, please. That would be very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think that the southern rust, at least at this point, has caused an issue? It could still, I suppose, but it depends kind of on how far along the crop is.
Right, exactly. A lot of the corn's, indent or close to it. And a lot of the rust, other than a couple of fields, down, below the ear, so it wasn't up in the canopy. That doesn't mean it can't spread more, I suppose. But, it could, hurt it a little bit, but I don't think at this point it's going to be, for what we've seen, significant enough to bring the average down a whole lot.
Of the tour to date, have you been impressed?
Yes. Yeah, better than what we've seen a lot of years. Especially when you think about South Dakota. Like I said, our tour yesterday was just, a little above average, corn-wise, below average for sure on beans. Everything's, still pretty lush and green. We're walking in fields with not a lot of, shortness of moisture for these fields out here. I don't know, some more rain probably wouldn't hurt, but the cool weather is really going to help things immensely with everything here for the next 2 or 3 weeks as well.
You think the finish will be early for them?
I don't know. I don't foresee it being too early. Some of it, of course, depends on when you got it planted, but I think it's just going to be more of a normal type finish and start to harvest, the way it looks to me.
Have you talked to many farmers in the area, and what are they telling you?
Just about every day, it seems like. Now, last year, we didn't hardly talk to any, but, you know, we just talked to one a while ago. We talked to two or three yesterday. They seem to be pretty satisfied with what their crop is. You know, some are looking for some really good yields, and some are a little bit surprised from, you know, what, you know, maybe the numbers were that we told them, maybe down just a little bit. But it's the one thing I do notice, though, is ear counts compared to what we do in Illinois or just seem to be always a little bit lower. I'm not sure why, but I just the way it is. I mean, so, but overall, the farmers seem to be pleased with the crop. They're not real happy with prices, but that's part of it, right?
Yeah it is. I think if you had asked, I bet their population, planting population rates are lower as well. I think that's just generally what
yes,
happens.
They do. I mean, yes, that's 100% right. I mean, they do start out with just a little bit lower population. To begin with. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know, from that standpoint.
Hey, thanks much. I appreciate it. One last question. Your route, if I remember correctly, kind of parallels Interstate 29, but you're, I don't know, 40 miles east of that, going up the west side of Iowa. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. We're actually heading into Cherokee, Iowa right now. So, yeah, we kind of come up, then we go west, and we go back east, you know, and then we end up on 29 heading into Spencer.
All right. Thank you much. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
You bet. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Sherman Newland is with Risk Management Commodities. It is a division of Zahner Ag Hedge. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. We're coming to you from the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur, where next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you can come and see the largest outdoor machinery show in the United States and visit the College of Aces tent. When you come in the main gate, just turn to the right, and we're only about a block. You'll see a great big orange sign on the end of the tent that says College of Aces. We hope that you will visit us. Now let's check in with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, I think we'll just skip, you know, what the weather for the Midwest is going to be like for the crops, because I want to know what Farm Progress Show weather's going to be like. Gosh, it looks like it should be fantastic. What do you think?
Yeah, it definitely will be. We are looking at a potential here for it to be just dry, low humidity, a light northerly wind at times, and temperatures that will probably be in the 70s. I mean, you can't ask for a better deal than that. There is a possibility that there might be a few areas in the southern parts of the region that may get up into the lower 80s, but it's going to be very autumn-like for just a bit. Our nighttime lows could get down into the 50s. I think we're probably going to be looking at upper 50s, lower 60s during the coldest period. So this the cool shot that's coming on for next week comes in two waves. So the first one comes through already this weekend, and that one will just clear the air of the moisture, and it'll feel good. It won't be quite as cool as it will be when the second wave of coolness comes through, and that arrives right about midweek next week. So that's when we'll see the coolest weather.
Now, I know I asked you specifically about Decatur, Illinois, but do those numbers kind of play out across the whole of the Corn Belt?
They really do. Obviously, it'll be colder to the north and warmer in the south. So some areas up near the Canada border, I would not be surprised to see temperatures maybe touch on upper on the border there in the upper 30s, lower 40s for a quick one morning. That'll probably be on Tuesday. I don't think that's going to reach into crop country. We're talking about northeastern North Dakota, right at the border, and northern Minnesota. But the northern part of the Midwest in general will be seeing temperatures in the 40s and lower 50s. And then the lower Midwest will see those lowest temperatures in the 50s. There may be a few lower 60s when you get down near and south of the Ohio River. Those are nighttime temperatures. Our afternoon highs in the Midwest in general will be 60s north, 60s and lower 70s north, and 70s in the south. So it will be just a delight, absolutely.
All right. So we probably ought to check in on other parts of the planet where maybe the weather's not quite a delight. Are you still worried about parts of Europe?
Yes, I am. And it's pretty late now, so I'm not quite sure we can induce much improvement. France, though, still has not seen good rain. It's been weeks, really, since a big part of that country has had a decent rain event. They've had some showers around, but it's way too dry in unirrigated areas. Now, the irrigated crop is probably doing okay. There hasn't been too many days of excessive heat. They certainly have had a couple of rounds of that. And so the crop is not in the best shape, that's for sure. But unirrigated fields, it's a sad situation. And we've seen dryness in parts of the UK, maybe still in some spots in Germany. I think most of Germany, though, has had some timely rain recently. And then it's the lower Danube River basin in the southeast part of Europe, as well as the Black Sea region, that are all continuing to see below normal precipitation and unirrigated crop stress.
I know it is early, but I am sure producers, farmers in Brazil have pulled their planters out in preparation for the planting season. It'll get started sometime in September. How are things setting up for them?
It looks very good at the moment. Now, you've probably heard and discussed with others maybe about this potential for La Nina to return, or La Nina-like conditions to develop as we get into the fourth quarter of this calendar year. If that happens, there is going to be a tendency to have some lighter rains once again in southern Brazil and eastern Argentina during the initial weeks of the planting season. I'm going to stop right there and give my opinion. I don't think we're going to see a full-blown La Nina event. That's the first thing I want to get off my chest. I do think we'll have La Nina-like conditions perhaps for a little while. What that translates into for Brazil is that they will definitely have a lighter than usual rain volume, if you will, during those weeks from late September through October. But it won't be like last year. You know, last year we saw the rains just fail, basically. It's kind of spit and spat a little bit, and then they just didn't do anything for quite a while. So we got way behind on planting. I don't think that'll be the case this year. I think that we will get into the fields. I think there will be some periodic rainfall occurring. It's just going to be lighter than they would like to see. But I think the crop will get in the ground and come up. As we move later into the growing season in November and December, I think the precipitation will become much more routine, and it may still be lighter than usual in southern Brazil as well as eastern Argentina. And we'll have to keep an eye on it to make sure they don't get too much heat and cause a problem with moisture shortages. But I think they'll get off to a good start, and then it's going to be a question as to how well that rain's going to be distributed once they've got the crop in the ground.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You bet. Have a good week.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. We're on the site to the Farm Progress Show today. For Media Day, Farm Progress Show is next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Decatur. Drop by the College of Aces tent. When you enter the main gate, just turn to the right, and we'll see you on one of those days. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.